Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Zechariah 8, verse 18. The word of the Lord Almighty came to me, New International Version. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many people and inhabitants of many cities will yet come, and the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once and entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. Everybody say that. To entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going. And many people and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and entreat him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we've heard that God is with you. Let's pray. Gracious, awesome, mighty God, move in ever-increasing power as I preach your word, teach your word. Let lives be touched and changed online, those here. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Karen and I moved here by the word of the Lord. What do you mean by that? God spoke to us through a vision and through confirming with Dr. Morocco and others, television programs, a 3-year-old prophesying to me while I'm putting them to sleep. You have two hearts. On and on and on. There's so many testimonies, and many of you heard a lot of them. We did not come because we needed a job. We didn't come here because we thought it was a good idea. We didn't come because somebody asked me to come. So just to set the record straight, it wasn't Dr. Morocco that said, would you go? Although that's not what motivated me first. It was an encounter with God, then followed by a question, would you go? That was the apostolic authority and release that brought us here. Had we known the, well, how many of you know it's good you don't know some stuff when you take steps of faith? Because you could talk yourself right out of a miracle. Reason is the guillotine of faith. You can reason away things and lose your miracle. You can say, well, that doesn't make any sense because you have a thriving church in Kauai. Why would you go to Alaska where it's not thriving and it's cold? Really cold. Why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. They told Jesus, they said to Jesus, his brother said, you need to go to Jerusalem, then where you can really be received. He's like, no, it's not my time. No, yeah, you need to go there. He was out in the wilderness. It wasn't his time to go into the city. God spoke to us and brought us here. This text is key. It's been a key text. I've preached from it in this church 2 other times, as I recall, once in 2007 and I think once in 2014. And so tonight, Jane Hammond, Prophetess Hammond, prophesied that there would be a great awakening and that Kings Alaska would be one of the epicenters. In other words, there's others, and I'm grateful for that. One of the epicenters. Well, what does it look like when there's an awakening? What happens actually when there's an awakening? What is an awakening? What happens when that takes place? The Great Alaskan Awakening. I'm in my notes. Hopefully, you guys have notes? Mr. Note Guy? Thanks. Will it take place? Absolutely, emphatically. This is a prophetic word, Zechariah 8. That is partially fulfilled. It'll be completely fulfilled when Jesus returns and nations flock to gather to Jerusalem. There's many different fulfillments here, but What will it look like when there's an awakening? What does that look like? I do believe it kind of looks like what's happening now. Although you wouldn't be able to tell from attendance tonight, but people are probably mowing their lawns, sharpening their fish hooks, getting ready to go, mending their nets maybe. The question is asked in Zechariah 7, verse 3. Should I mourn and fast in the fifth month as I've done so for so many years? There's fourth month, fifth month. The seventh month and tenth month is the question that's in our text. What fasting is resist is folding down your humanity. It's restricting yourself from food or drink so that you could pray. Fasting was always done in national emergencies. Fasting and prayer, they go together. Fasting and prayer. National emergencies, it's a time of mourning. They would mourn, they would fast, they would pray. I don't know, whenever I'm mourning, I want to eat. I don't know, but they would fast and pray. I know some people, when they're mourning, they just stop eating. When they go through crisis, yeah, I'm really stressed out, I'm not eating. I'm like, really? I gained 20 pounds. I'm stressed out too, but I ate. These fasts that they mention in the text, fourth month, fifth month, seventh month, tenth month, those are specific tragedies that happened in Israel. And so, as you read it, you're like, well, why would they be talking about fasting in the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month? The fourth month is when the walls were breached in Jeremiah 39:2. So that was historically, when Zechariah is prophesying this, they had a fast in the fourth month because of the breached walls of Jeremiah 39, verse 2. In the fifth month, that's the month of Av. And I think I did an offering teaching on Monday night and never actually made my point, but I might make it now. The fifth month is the month of Av. Everybody say Av. Okay, that's easy to pronounce. The ninth of Av is the more calamities happen to Jews on the ninth of Av than any other date in all of history. And I'll just mention them to you. It's on the ninth of Av that Moses came down and they're worshiping the golden calf. And what does he do? He breaks the tablets, the first set. Breaks the tablets. The ninth of Av is also when the 10 spies come back with a bad report. Same day. Can you imagine being Moses? On the birthday of their rebellion, they come back and rebel again. It's the ninth of Av, and they don't go into the promised land. And if you look, the destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians, 586, guess what day that was? The ninth of, exactly. Well, how about that? Well, in 70 AD, the destruction of the second temple, guess what day that was? The ninth of Av. Are you kidding me? No, this is ancient history. This is serious. The fall of Betar, 500,000 Jews killed in 135 AD. The plowing of the Temple Mount by the Romans in 136 AD. Jews expelled from England in 1290 AD. It's about to get crazy. Jews are expelled from Spain in 1492 on that day, on the 9th of Av. The start of World War I was on the 9th of, and the Jews were sent to the death camps from the Warsaw Ghetto on the 9th of Av. So a lot of that is some modern history, but in Zechariah's time, it was a grievous time, and it still is. Tish B'Av, for those of you that are into Hebrew root study. And so the seventh month was a time where they fasted. The assassination of Gedaliah in Jeremiah 41, which was the end of Jewish leadership at that time period. The tenth month, The siege of Jerusalem begins in 2 Kings 25. So they're saying, Lord, do we keep fasting in these months? Do we still commemorate these times of mourning and grieving and sorrow and repentance? That's the question. So in chapter 8, 1 through 17, there's these seven oracles that are declared, and each one is preceded with the phrase, this is what the Lord says. Come on, say that with me. This is what the Lord says. Over and over and over, he said that through the seven oracles, and then over and over and over, he says, I'm going to bless you. The Lord says, I am going to bless you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to bless you. I've been convicted recently. I don't have negative things come out of my mouth. You know, what about when you're rebuking somebody like the Valley Bible Church? Well, the rebuke is different. You know, I need to be rebuked sometimes. You need to rebuke. That doesn't mean it's negative. You speak the truth in love. Amen? Right. So I don't ever say, and you could ask my wife, I'll ask her. I think this is true what I'm about to say. I don't say disparaging things about myself. I don't ever call myself stupid. I don't say things. I don't have thoughts like that in my head. They don't come through I see them as a demonic assignment. So they don't even come anymore. I don't have thoughts about I'm ugly or I'm this or I'm dumb or I can't or it's impossible. I don't have thoughts like that. You might. I would suggest you drive them out of your thought life. It's important. In fact, that I was convicted. I started saying I was convicted because my dog has been kind of a knucklehead lately. Like, that's kind of a disparaging remark right there. Your dog's a knucklehead. Yeah. Anyway, my wife rebuked me for speaking negative words over my dog, and so you should. But some of you speak negative words over your children, over your finances, over your emotions, over your job, over your employer, over your church, maybe. All right. Three short sayings here that we read. The things are going to change. The message is, no, it's not going to be sorrow and grieving and mourning and wailing. It's going to be joy. It's going to be joy. Things are going to change. When there's an awakening, things change. When there's an awakening that literally things change. Joy replaces sorrow. Come on, some of you just look like a sad sack right now. Change your face. God's on the throne. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. He's working things for good. Come on, there's nothing to worry about. Don't have any fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. He's going to meet your need. He's going to bring the breakthrough. He's going to bring the healing. He's going to bring the deliverance. He's going to bring freedom and salvation. Come on, somebody say amen. Did you have to get excited? Yes. If it doesn't move you, something's wrong with you. It's not a time of sorrow. It's not a time of weeping. Weeping does come, and it endures for a night. But joy comes in the morning when you get born again and you get saved and Jesus takes up residence on the inside of you. You will find like a dynamo on the inside of you of joy. Joy is a flag that flies from the heart who has Jesus enthroned. And when you have Jesus enthroned, you will not be a sad sack. You'll be filled with joy, and you'll go through stuff. Thank you. I got a yeah back there. Amen. It's the word of the Lord. So many people don't read this. Something I was impressed by, Dr. Morocco. We had this meeting. It was planned. And we're going to go and we're going to eat breakfast or something. I forget exactly what it was. We had a plan. He said, you know, Pastor Daniel, would you mind if I just, can we just not do that right now? I said, well, of course. He said, you know, I'm in the Word. I've been in the Word for about 2 hours. And it's so wonderful. I thought, ooh. The monks used to call it the kisses of the Word. Do you know God's word like that? Have you spent time in there? Have you wept through the pages of God's word? One of the most memorable dates we ever had. We were engaged, and I was living with my mother, and you had a little apartment, and you came over, and we read through the Psalms. We were reading through the Psalms, and we would weep, tears rolling down our faces for the love of God and how he had blessed us. We were living right, living holy, and loving the Lord. You know, 27, whatever, in my mom's house, that wasn't the best, but I was grateful to have a roof over my head, and soon I was going to be out of your house, and I was going to marry you. We would read through the Psalms and just weep. When's the last time you wept through the Word? When's the last time you read it that you were so moved? Don't read it like it's a textbook. It's a love letter to you. Get in this thing. Devour it. Read it. Let God walk up and down your heart through the pages of Holy Writ. Let God speak to you through it. Just get it so deep down in your heart, in your spirit, that you begin to think it. So many people call a counselor or get on Facebook or hold a sign out and try to bring disparaging things, and Jesus help me. Get in the Word. Read the Word. Learn the Word. Study the Word. And let it move you. And I will say that any theological truth that you encounter ought to bring a dynamic change to who you are and your walk with God and with other people. That is the soil of the context of Revelation, that it changes you. And it brings you joy. It brings you hope. It brings you strength. It releases, come on, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. You get in the Word. You're like, can you pray for me to have more faith? I'm going to pray you read your Bible. Get in the Word. Serving God for 5 years, and you call, I've got the devil in my house. At 5 years, you ought to learn how to kick him out of every situation in your life. You've got the blood of Jesus. You've got the Word of God. You have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. If you keep the same cycle of captivity, you keep going over the same bondages, you've got to get set free. And you know, I had somebody tell me, they came up to the front and said, I've got a devil. I looked at him, I thought, I don't see one. So I came down. Do you know what I'm talking about, Pastor? I've had people like, I have a devil for sure. Like, no, I think you're out of control with your flesh, maybe. You keep acting that way, you're gonna have one. I've seen people say, and tell me the name. I've just been doing what I've been doing a long time. I have some discernment. Like, I not to say that I'm like Mr. Deliverance, but it was the main gifting that God gave us when we first came into Kings, when we first got elevated. If you had a devil, you went and saw Bracken. That's what they did. Oh, he's got get Bracken. They would come over, and I'd be like, shaka-ta-ta. We'd cast out devils. And how come you were chilling? Because I had a lot of devils, so I got good at casting them out. I had somebody say to me, well, I've got a devil. I thought, how do you know? Because I know. Told me it's a name. I just looked at him, and I thought, yeah, I'll pray for you, but I laid hands on them, and they pretended like the devil talked back. I'm not going. I almost laughed. I actually almost laughed. He said, that's not funny. I know it's not funny. What's really not funny is you keep messing around, you're actually going to get a real one. And you're just dealing with your flesh, and you want attention. I've seen it over and over and over. How did we get on that? Let's all worship God for just a second. It's the devil. No, it's your flesh. You need to get set free from that attention-grabbing spirit. Some of you are communication dominators. A CD, they call it. That's where you just have to dominate every conversation. How do you know about that? Because I know a little bit about that. Isn't that right, Pastor Karen? She got set free, though, so the Lord is good. No. Yeah, she got set free because I got set free. You know what's a beautiful thing? Whenever I say something that's a little edgy about you, the daggers come out from all the ladies. I'm like, whoa, Jesus. And the 22s start coming out of the purse. Jesus, help me right now. Lord, forgive me. We got like a whole nother hour. All right, let's move on. Therefore, love truth and peace. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 19 with me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th, 10th month shall be joyful, glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love truth and peace. Because what God is going to do, you got to concentrate on what God is going to do. He doesn't have a tragedy waiting for you. It's Murphy's Law. Sure thing. You know I'm last. Yeah, you're always going to be last, you idiot. Quit saying Murphy's Law. Quit talking about how you're the last. You're the head, not the last. Head, not the tail. Some of you might be acting like the tail right now, but you can become the head. You should quit lining up with the fact of what your mouth has always said, or what your mama taught you, or what you heard all your life, and start speaking truth. Oh, it's another tragedy. Oh, it's another. No, it isn't. It's another resurrection. It's another turnaround. It's another breakthrough. It's another healing. It's another deliverance. God, come on. God didn't save you to suffer and die. Is there suffering? Emphatically, yes. There is, but you'll overcome it. So it's not mourning, it's not grieving. He's telling them, change your channel. Bump your neighbor and say, change your channel. Man, I've been hooked up. The Lord's blessing me. Say the other person said, the Lord's blessing me. Truth is his word. Peace is the word shalom. Shalom. Peace of God is one of the most precious things to us in the Bracken home. We make our decisions. That's without that, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. If there's no peace, then something's wrong. It could be timing. It could be any number of different things. The peace of God, we don't do anything without peace. It is emphatically the main thing we do. But I've had incredible decisions and opportunities, and the Lord's like, start losing my peace, start feeling like I'm getting something's wrong. And literally, we'll stop. We've pulled our car over. We will stop doing what we're doing. I mean, it's not all that uncommon in the Bracken home. Maybe once every couple of months, I'd say, where all of a sudden something will hit us. Be like, oh, what is that? And we'll just pray. We'll pray in the spirit. Walk back and forth. I told you the other day. I said, Something's off. Something's bothering me. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. So I pray. I'm praying. I'm like, what is that? What is happening? And the Lord just showed me. It was a subtle couple different things I needed to do, a couple little shifts I needed to make. I made those shifts. Peace comes back. He said, well, that doesn't make any sense. No. It might not make sense to you, but peace is a big deal. And if you concentrate on the shalom of God, nothing missing, nothing broken, and you don't do anything without shalom. Don't do anything without peace. And you can do radical things as long as you have peace. God tells you to do some crazy thing, some missionary journey or some wild adventure he tells you to go on. Go on it. Just make sure he told you to go and make sure you have peace, because if you don't, stay home. There's a lot of went. Then there's people that are sent. God is sending people. You don't want to be a went. Look at verse 20. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many people, inhabitants, many cities will yet come. People will come from all over the world. I'm talking about an awakening, about a revival. There's a change from sorrow to joy. There's an emphasis on God's word. There's an emphasis on joy. There's an emphasis on peace, on truth. Truth matters. I don't know if you saw today, but President Trump, that guy, man, there's a genocide apparently happening. I mean, it all hasn't come out yet. There's no decisions, but I just love how he does stuff. The genocide in South Africa, and they're killing all these white farmers. And his regime is saying what they're saying. So he's there. The leader of South Africa is there. And President Trump confronts him. And there's no acknowledgement of it. So he says, okay, can you dim the lights? Dim the lights in the Oval Office. And he shows a video of his leaders in South Africa demanding the death of these white farmers, and a helicopter footage of thousands of white farmers that have been killed in South Africa shows the whole video and says, well, you know, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but like, what about that? I love truth. Does anybody else love truth? You know, truth is amazing. I love the truth. Because God loves truth and his word is truth. It's not an ambiguous blend of maybe. This is, right here, the end of it all, right here. This is truth. Hebrews says it's a discerner of the heart, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God. Put your conscience to the test with this. Examine your heart. Examine your actions by this, not by what people say, not by how much money you can make, by whether it's right or wrong. I was in the King's Christian School today, had their last day of school. And you might not have heard, but Washington, D.C. called Headmaster Susie yesterday. The White House. Yeah. I'm not stuttering, so I'll say it again. A representative from the White House called Headmaster Susie to say this. You have been selected. The school, King's Christian School, Alaska, has been nominated and selected to do the Christmas ornaments for the state Alaska tree at the White House for next Christmas. Would you do that? Yes. How does that happen? So they have to come together and they're gonna make ornaments. I gotta get it done by June. They're gonna send them in and they're gonna have next to the tree that's on the way, the big White House has a big pagan Christmas tree. And it's for all the Westbrook people out there and the Easter Bunny crucifiers. Pastor Karen is not laughing. I'm going over here. So we don't worship the tree either. We worship the one who hung on it. They have the big White House tree. Then they have all the state trees represented, and there's a tree for Alaska. I didn't even know that. There's a state tree for Alaska and the ornaments on the state tree for Alaska, so long as we can get our artwork in, isn't that right? It's gonna be from the King's Christian School, Alaska. And it's going to have a nameplate, King's Christian School, Alaska. Come on, somebody. Oh, redefining education. All of these things are signs. I'm telling you, God is touching our state. People are moving here. They're coming in droves. It is a beautiful time to seek God. People from all over the world. I do believe that people are coming, prophet after prophet. And we do believe in prophecy for all my Westbrook friends. Or whatever your names are. We knew approximately. We knew approximately where the pulpit was going to be, which is right about here. Standing. When we were building this building, we would bring in all these, every guest that came through, from Bill Hammond to the Hammonds to John Bosman and Ann Bosman, these tremendous world-changing powerhouses. Tiff Shuttlesworth, just to name a few, came through. They would stand about in this location, and they would pray for the completion of this building. We seemed to look at steel forever. It seemed like we were looking at it forever, but it wasn't forever. And they all said the same thing eventually while they were praying or prophesying. And what it was is, always remember, this house is about the nations. This church is about the nations. He's going to bring them here. You're going to send them out from here. This place is about the nations. Always remember. I mean, over and over and over. Same, almost identical prophetic words over and over and over. Come on, somebody say the nations are coming. This whole section here, I had you repeat it. Seek the Lord and entreat. It's this repetition that strengthens this prophetic message. The whole, these nations coming, is Isaiah 2, verse 2 through 4, Micah 4, 1 through 3, where nations stream to Zion. Of course, it's talking about Aliyah. Of course, it's talking about the end when the nations come and the millennial reign and Jesus. But it's also talking about revival in the church. I don't think it's a stretch to say that this also, now historically and in the context, it's clearly talking about Jews, clearly talking about Israel, clearly talking about that. But we are not a replacement, but I do believe that we can take this and say that when there's an outpouring, when there's revival, people stream. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house and then nobody could enter in. All right. God paints a picture of revival. Can I have keys, please? Joy fills the house. Picture of awakening. Worship fills the house. Joy fills the house. It's something you'll find whenever there's a move of God, there's always a sound of worship, and there's always joy. For a long time, we cried in this church because we had things to cry about. But things shifted. And I'm all for weeping. But the joy of the Lord, as Nehemiah said, is my strength. And this place is filled with joy. I've told the story. I just think it's funny. I had somebody leave. This church's not for everybody, obviously. Thank God for the body of Christ. But I had somebody say, you know, I can't come to church here. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Is everything okay? They said, no, it's too happy. You think I'm lying, but I'm totally telling you the truth because liars go to hell. I'm telling you, that's what he said. It's too happy here. I said, it's too happy. Yeah, you guys are just always so, everybody's smiling and it's not for me. Not my cup of tea. There's depressed places you can go, but I don't think the gospel's being preached because wherever the gospel's preached, there's joy, there's hope, there's freedom, there's salvation, there's healing, there's deliverance. And when you've been delivered, when you've been set free, you end up being joy-filled. It's good news. Gospel means good news, not bad news, not sad sack news, good news, good news. Happy joy. There's an emphasis on the word of the Lord. Emphasis on the blessing of God, the shalom. The shalom, complete restoration, complete wholeness. There's a hunger for God to come on his people. There's a hunger for God. It comes on people. What do you mean? I mean, we had people lined up. An hour before lined up. Wait, did anybody see that? Maybe some of you were in that line. Because you felt in your heart, my gosh, I could get healed tonight. Something could happen tonight. There's a hunger. When you're rushing home to read the book of Leviticus, you know you're on fire. Turn off Netflix. I was challenged by Dr. Barocco's, challenged by Benny Hinn to read the word 4 times a year. I don't read the word 4 times a year. maybe twice, about twice, two times, four times. I mean, if this is truth, and it is, and faith comes by hearing, in other words, by reading it and hearing it, getting it into your heart, why don't we read it more? Is that just me? Is that sound logic right there? Why would that be? Why would it be that you'll be consumed by, you know, action movies or harlequin romance novels or reels or the video game when your eyes are falling out of your virtual goggles? When revival comes, when awakening comes, there's a hunger comes on God's people. And then this last point here. 10 men will come and take a Jew by his sleeve. You know what that's a picture of? It's a picture that the Jews are a bridge. They're certainly a bridge for us Gentiles. We got grafted in. They were the chosen people. But it's also a picture that you're a bridge. That we've heard that God is with you, and that's a beautiful word, Emmanuel, God with us. It's talking about Jesus, really. It's a prophetic play right there. Heard that God is with you. When Jesus is with you, you're to be a bridge. So that when I reach out and I invite somebody, they could come to know the Lord or experience his power, experience his healing. Because I reached out. He said, well, that's not in context because they're reaching out. True. But I'm still going to say the other thing is also true. You could be a bridge to reach to them. But the truth is that you're so blessed. You're so overwhelmingly blessed. You have got it going on. You're so filled with joy all the time. It's just like breakthrough left, breakthrough right. So much so that people come to you and say, okay, I want to know, how is it that you're doing that? How is it that you overcome? How is it that you got healed? How is it that you're so blessed? How is it that your dog obeys you all the time? How is it that you have sunshine on a cloudy day? How is that? Yeah. You're like, because I serve the living God. That's what they're saying. They say, like, there's so much blessing on you. Please tell me, how is it that you did that? I was leaving the gym. I had a quick workout today. I don't usually work out on Wednesday, but I felt to go, so I did. And on the way out, I saw someone from our church who does sales there. And I saw the whole, the whole room was filled with all the salespeople. So I thought, what a perfect opportunity. And I just walked right in. She said, oh, hi, Pastor. I said, hi, are you, how's sales? And everybody's turns. I said, how's sales? I used to do gym sales. So sales, that's how you make money. Hello? She goes, well, good. I said, I'm gonna pray for you right now that you're number one. They're all listening. All the other sales associates are listening. I'm gonna pray that you're the number one. And the guy says, well, she's almost number one. So she's gonna be number one too, because God's gonna answer my prayer just to show off that he answers prayer right now. Father, thank you so much. And I just totally prayed, Lord, make her number one. You know what's gonna happen? She's gonna be number one and be like, who's that guy that prayed for you? And what did he pray? That's the picture, such blessing that people come and grab you by your sleeve to say, where are you going? I want to go with you. I want to go. Where are you? I'm going to Kings, man. It's going on right now. Fire and hunger and shalom and truth and healing and blessing. Come on. Come with me. Let's go and treat the Lord. Let's seek him while he may be found. Come on, Jesus. Lift your hands to heaven all across the place. Come on, pray for awakening. That's what needs to happen. Pray for an awakening. Pray for a revival.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.